T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Celtics Podcast. All things Celtics.
Isaiah for 3.
All things green.
I got the ball.
All things NBA.
He believes that he can be a very special player.
The Celtics Podcast starts now. Here's WEEI.com's Mike Petralia.
Welcome back to the latest edition of the Celtics Podcast on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by JBL. Well, this week I am joined by my colleague in the field, as it were, Josue Pavon. We watched Celtics games together. We were at the Golden State game on Friday night. I think perhaps, Josue, we could say that was a low point of the season in terms of how the team responded in the second half, how they fell apart. Isaiah Thomas ripping into not only the players, but really the coaching staff after the game, saying that everybody gave up on that game and really criticized the coaching staff for him playing just over 25 minutes. And then you see what happened in the two games since. They get Al Horford back, and apparently Al Horford does make that big a deal. Celtics go on the road. They beat the Pistons, handing Detroit their first home loss of the season, 94-92. Al Horford, the game winner with just over a second remaining, and then some defense on the play after that to really help seal that victory. And then Monday night, on a game in Minnesota against a young and up-and-coming team in the Timberwolves. Timberwolves race out to a 10-point halftime lead. They build it up to 13, 81-68 after three quarters, and you're thinking, here we go, the same old inconsistent Celtics. But they managed, thanks again to Al Horford and some key three-point shooting from Terry Rozier, to pull that out, 99-93, actually going away using a 19-0 second half spurt to wipe out the deficit. Josue, I got to tell you, night and day having Al Horford back on the court.
Yeah, I think we forgot how important Al Horford is, Mike. I mean, you look at what he was able to do, especially with that second unit. I love the fact that Brad Stevens is putting him in there with the with all the bench players like Jonas Jerebko and Rozier and Smart. I think it gives that lineup a lot of flexibility on the court on what they're able to do on offense. I think guys like Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier are starting to carve out their role for this bench. And I think it's very important for this team in terms of having that depth as an option.
You know, I think Terry Rozier is a fascinating case, Josue, because we knew what we were getting in Marcus Smart. He is a defensive shutdown guy off the bench who is spotty with his three-point shooting. I think in Terry Rozier, we started to see signs, certainly in summer league and even before that, in workouts and whatnot with the team and people around the team saying that Terry Rozier is really committed to becoming an X factor off the bench along with Marcus Smart. And I think Terry Rozier's development off the bench is going to be a key factor for this team going forward if they're going to be in the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, he was a bit inconsistent, Mike. I mean, and I think a lot of that had to do with the injuries. You know, I think when Marcus Smart was a starter for Jay Crowder and Terry Rozier was essentially one of the first guys off the bench, I think it was a tough time for him trying to find his role for the team. I think now that Marcus Smart has gone back to the bench, he can sort of he has space for himself now to score. And like he showed against Minnesota, I mean, he can really get it going in spurts. You know, he has the outside touch. I love it when he drives. You know, it reminds me a lot of just the way he gets to the hoop. It's almost like a young Dwayne Wade in a way, the way he's able to get to the hoop. I'm not saying he may perform like right. Dwayne Wade, but I think his flexibility in terms of being that outside shooter along with being able to drive inside and what he's able to do for you on the defensive end makes him a very valuable player off the bench for the Celtics team.
What was your initial reaction to Isaiah Thomas Friday night?
Frustration, Mike. I think it just all came out at once. I think the fact that the Celtics managed to get that lead down to 11 points with 5 minutes left, and that's when Brad Stevens reinserted Isaiah Thomas. I think that really bothered him. I think that he was thinking maybe if, you know, hey, if coach put me in at the 9 minute mark or the 8 minute mark, maybe we could have got this thing down to four or to 5 or 6 points. And I think that sort of bothered him and that sort of lingered in his mind. And then going into the locker room, it all just spewed out.
Well, and you know, I think I'm going to play the devil's advocate here, Josue. Your job as a player is not to have those mental gymnastics running through your head during the game. And, you know, obviously we can't get inside Isaiah Thomas's head, and nobody asked him what he was thinking, you know, as he's playing the game. But afterward, we asked what he was thinking, and that's when, as you said, the frustration comes out. But I think the job of a professional athlete is to go in and do the best job you can when the coach calls upon you, and you cannot let, you know, what ifs factor in, right?
Absolutely. That's true. That's very true. But we have to remember also, Mike, that this is sort of a new role for Isaiah Thomas. He's never been the all-star guy. He's never been the number one option on the Celtics team. But of course, I agree with you. I think this is something that he's learning. No Al Horford, I think, certainly made him a bit more vocal. But now that Horford's back, maybe he'll think twice about the things he says after these games, even if in frustration or not, you know, regardless of the outcome of the games. I think he sort of has to be careful here in terms of what he says about the coaching staff, and especially talking about his minutes. I mean, this is the first time we've really heard Isaiah talk about something that bothered him directly. You know, we've never heard him say before, like, oh, well, I didn't get this or I didn't get that, you know, like, I think it was 2 weeks ago after the Denver game, after Denver blew out the Celtics. I love the fact that he was able to say that he took responsibility and said that it's something that I need to do something to make this team better. I need to do something to get these guys more motivated. That's my job. That's the Isaiah that we need to see more often instead of the one that's talking about why didn't I play more minutes.
Well, I think what is also very interesting, Josue, is the fact that Brad Stevens is going to handle this much differently than a Doc Rivers would. And this is just another case of, you know, that X generation style of coach, the millennial type of coach that Brad Stevens is. He's not going to react and put a player in his place right away. That's not his management or his coaching style on the court. And I think that's going to be a fascinating dynamic to watch going forward, because he's going to take Isaiah Thomas aside, talk to him one-on-one, but he's not going to ream him out in the media.
No, he's not. And you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because a little bit of this reminded me of like a young Paul Pierce when him and Doc Rivers were sort of having that friction going on.
Great call.
And he didn't think twice to bench Paul, just to send a message. You know, he didn't care about how important Paul was to the team and you know, how productive he was to the team. I mean, that was one of his best seasons that year, or the first 2 years, I should say, when Doc Rivers took over. So I think that's a really good point, actually, that you bring up in terms of how Brad Stevens is going to handle the situation moving forward in terms of what Isaiah Thomas does in the future.
Well, you know, the other thing, and I know a couple of reporters, some of my colleagues brought this up. I know Chris Forsberg of ESPN Boston brought this up, and I thought it was a great point that he tweeted out, and that was that Jay Crowder was in a similar position almost the same time when the Celtics were 9-8 last year, and he criticized the rotation off the bench. What did the Celtics do? They went out and won 5 of their next 7 games, and they pretty much got that ship righted, and there were no problems going forward. My question with regard to this particular case is Isaiah Thomas's frustration going to, you know, be dealt with, or is it going to simmer under the surface, and will it blow up again?
I think chances are it's going to simmer under the surface. The timing was perfect in terms of, you know, Jay Crowder and Al Horford coming right back the very next game, because without those two guys, I don't think they get out of Detroit with the win. So I think that could have led to, you know, more quotes out of Isaiah that would have been headlines going into Minnesota. So it's probably going to simmer under the surface. But again, we talked about this after Friday night's game, how, you know, this isn't the finished product. I don't know if this is the point where the Celtics essentially turn the corner and start putting together, you know, like an 8 or 9 game winning streak. I think this team is still going to sort of find its identity from now into probably the new year. And then at that point, when we get into January, I think we'll see exactly what this team is about. And that's, of course, if everyone stays healthy.
Well, and I think we need to go back to Al Horford again, Josue, because I don't think it can be overstated his significance in the lineup. There's no question, not only the big plays, but the numbers and the consistency that he gives you on both ends of the court. I mean, his numbers on Monday night were pretty amazing when you take a look at the 20 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. It's not just the scoring. It's a decent number of rebounds. He's passing the ball. He's considered, obviously, one of the best passing bigs in the game, and that's why the Celtics went out and paid him the $113 million, you know, with the 5 assists. I'll show you that. And the 3 steals, he, for a big guy, Josue, he has got incredibly quick hands. And that is one of the things defensively I think they were missing with regard to his concussion and missing 9 games right in the start of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. What he's able to do in the defensive end, I feel like, was almost overlooked until you see what he is now with the Celtics, especially next to guys like, you know, Amir Johnson, Tyler Zeller, you know, Kelly Olynyk at times. I mean, he's really the one defensive force out of those big guys. You know, I think Amir Johnson, I was hoping that he would sort of rub off of Amir, but I think, you know, we're still waiting for Amir Johnson to sort of become more of a shot blocker in a sense. I don't know. I feel like sometimes
a rim protector.
A little bit lost. Or rim protector, right. I feel like he gets a little lost sometimes on the defensive end. But, Al Horford, I mean, without Al Horford, especially against a game like a team like Minnesota with you know, Karl Anthony Towns having one heck of a night, I think he was huge in terms of stopping the bleeding and helping on that 19-0 run on the defensive end.
Okay, I'm going to make this real simple. Celtics hold a team under 100 points. They're win percentage will go up exponentially. That's all we had to see in the last 2 games. You know, obviously the Celtics hold the Pistons to 92 points. They hold Minnesota to 93 points. They win both of the games. And I just think, you know, with the Patriots, it's 23 points. If the Patriots score 23 points, they win 95% of the time. If the Celtics hold the opposition under 100 points, I like the chances for this Celtics team to win. And in their last 3 wins, going back to the Wednesday game against the Dallas Mavericks when they held the Mavs to a season low 83 points, Celtics' best defensive performance of the year, that just kind of shows you what the mindset of this team, I think, needs to be going forward. They love to score. They have a lot of young players, and scoring is sexy to young players. There's no question about that. You know, slam dunks and all of that, all of the fancy, you know, between the legs bounce pass that Isaiah had to Avery Bradley to finish off that Dallas game. You know, young crowd loves that, but defense is really going to be the calling card of this Celtics team if they are at all serious about getting deep into the spring.
It's essentially what got them to become a playoff team this last couple of years. I mean, it's been their defense. That's been their MO. I think one of the silver linings on Friday night against the Warriors is that, like, yeah, they got their butts handed to them, but, you know, they held them to 104 points. I mean, this is a team that averages 117 points a night. And one thing I think that we have to keep a close eye on is how they perform in the third quarter. One thing I've noticed in the past, was it 5 or 6 games, they're being outscored in the third quarter, and I think that when they're able to buckle down in the fourth quarter, like you mentioned, that's when you see them keep teams underneath that 100-point plateau. So that's going to be something interesting to look, you know, going forward to keep a close eye on, because coming out of halftime, I feel like they come out a little slow, you know, a little sluggish at times, and then in the fourth quarter, they clean things up. That's not always going to be the case every single night, depending on who you're playing, especially a team like the Spurs who are coming to town, you know, this Friday. It's going to be interesting to see how they perform in the second half against a top-tier team like that.
You know, I was kind of a little bit down on Jonas Jerebko last week on our Celtics JBL podcast.
But I got to change your mind on Monday, huh?
Yeah, you know what I got to tell you? Jonas Jerebko showed a lot of guts and grit off the bench in that Monday win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Brad Stevens said, I don't care how much he scores, it's his hustle and his determination for loose balls, on defense, all of the rebounding, that is really going to make his role a solid one on our team. And I got to tell you, in sharp contrast to that, Josue, you know where I'm going with this? And we've been doing this every week. Ripping Kelly Olynyk. Kelly Olynyk, if you're 7 feet, and you're in the defensive paint and you're not getting rebounds, which he is not, what good are you on the roster? And I would love to get your read on this. And Jonas Jerebko perhaps taking a lot of minutes away from Kelly Olynyk off the bench. You think that should happen?
I think it should, and I think it was. I'm glad you brought this up, because there was this one play, this one sequence that drove me nuts on Monday night. It was in the middle of the second quarter. There's a loose ball almost by half court, and Kelly Olynyk turns, and he's looking at his tracks. He's looking at the loose ball,
right.
But his body is still moving forward. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, get on the floor, Kelly. Grab that ball. I mean, you're not that far away from it, or at least show some initiative that you're going to go towards the ball and grab it. So Minnesota picks it back up. They bring it. I think they missed the falling attempt, and the ball goes behind him. And it's sort of like it's like a delayed reaction for Olynyk. He turns around without even initially boxing the guy out, or even making that jump to go for the ball and make some sort of effort towards the ball. After that, you barely saw him hit the floor after that. And I think that's something that Brad Stevens noticed right away and said, like, look, if you're not going to put in that kind of effort, I'm going to go with Jonas. And Jonas made a huge stop, I thought, in the fourth quarter,
right,
which sort of sealed the deal for Minnesota when they were trying to make a comeback in those last few minutes. And, I mean, that's the sort of thing that's going to get you floor time. Now, that's a big reason why I think you're going to see more of Jonas than Olynyk, essentially, if Olynyk doesn't change his ways. Because like you said, if he's not grabbing rebounds for you, and if the three-point shot that he loves to take is not falling down, what is he really giving you off the bench?
Joe Sway, not to interrupt you, do not want to hear the term or the phrase, he spaces the floor so well. Well, so what? I mean, defensively, you're not spacing the floor. They are dictating spacing the floor. The opposition is, and if you're not grabbing rebounds, and if you're not boxing out, and if you're not playing hard defense and physical defense, which obviously in the NBA, that's what low post defense is, then what good are you?
Exactly. And right now is a time where Stevens, his team is at full strength. He has a chance to really carve out roles for this bench. And the first guys off the bench right now are Jerebko, Smart, Jerebko, and Rozier.
Right.
So it's going to be really interesting to see who gets that sort of ninth spot, whether it's if Jaylen Brown can sort of put things together, because I feel like he's sort of lost his identity a bit trying to find his role for this team. And it's going to be interesting to see what Olynyk does, because I think that ninth spot is going to be up for grabs. But if Olynyk doesn't give them much in the front court, I mean,
well, at this point, Joe Sway, wouldn't you rather have Jaylen Brown, a rookie first round pick who you spent a third round pick, a number three overall pick on the floor, learning his way? And he's clearly not he's not intimidated, and B, he gives you more defensively than Kelly Olynyk would, and he's a better rebounder. I mean, I think that's a no-brainer, no?
Yep, that's a no-brainer, Mike. And he's also very flexible. He can play up to three positions, the 2-3 and the bit of the 4-2. He feels comfortable down low in the post. Yeah, I'd say that's a no-brainer, Trax. That's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that Jaylen Brown doesn't do, he doesn't space the floor as a 7-foot shooting big, and nobody is ever, at this point anyway, going to make the argument that Jaylen Brown's a better shooter than Kelly Olynyk. Clearly he is not. But the point remains that the Celtics need some true grit off that bench. And Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, and what we saw Monday night, Jonas Jerebko, give you that, and Kelly Olynyk doesn't. So we'll see where that goes moving forward. Joe Sway, I think it's going to be an interesting week. The Celtics 2-0 on the road trip, go into Brooklyn on Wednesday night, trying to complete the three-game road trip sweep, which I think would be huge for this team. I don't care about the competition. I do think going on the road, bonding, all of that they say in pro sports, a team that really bonds together on a long road trip, I think that does matter. And I think with this team, if they can go on the road, sweep all three games, certainly they should beat Brooklyn. I don't care where the game is played. And then they come home for a Friday afternoon matinee against Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. There's a lot to build upon this week.
Absolutely. And going into that San Antonio game, you can go into that game 3-0 off the road trip. That's going to be a very tough game for for the Spurs, I think, because I think the Celtics are going to carry that momentum. And like you said, it doesn't matter who they're playing. You know, in terms of if you're able to win three in a row, that's always a great thing for this young team. And also the fact that they were able to get out of Minnesota, because going into that game, I wasn't 100% sure if they were going to be able to beat that team. You know, they've been playing fairly well. I know the record doesn't dictate that, but for the way they score, and you know, someone like Wiggins, who's now the best 3-point shooter in the league. He's also one of the top scorers in the league too. You know, Karl Anthony Towns. We know the Celtics aren't the best rebounding team, so I wasn't 100% sure how. And of course, Anthony Towns grabbed 18 boards last night, so that was a sure indication of that. But I thought that the fact that the Celtics got out of that game with the win was huge against that team, because I thought that was a really tough matchup going in.
We're gonna see you Friday afternoon at the Garden. Are we, Josue? Tell me yes.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, but I have a full belly from that Thanksgiving food, but I'll be there, man. I'll be in the building.
Yeah, I'll be over my tryptophan from the turkey on Thursday by then. I think I'll be ready to go. I'll have a cup or two of coffee and a cup of Joe and be ready to go after, you know, my friends and family get done with their Black Friday assault on the shopping malls and getting in those Christmas bargains. Are you a big shopper? Are you a big shopper?
I'm not a huge shopper, but Travis, you mean you don't partake in the big crowd, the Black Friday? You don't like that kind of thing?
I do not. My friends and family do it for me. I prefer Cyber Monday. And I think you know me well enough by now, Josue, and you see me in the press room, right? At halftime of every Celtics game, and you're like, "Oh my God, peace and quiet in a working press room." My kingdom for a quiet room where I can actually focus on writing. I mean, look, we love NBA arenas, and I don't want to get into too much of a rant here, but what the hell, I've gone down the road anyway. I don't want to get into too much of a rant, but the music at an NBA arena, I have to wear noise-canceling earbuds. You realize that, right? Because I can't take it.
You don't like that loud hip-hop trap music? No?
No. My teenage daughters love it, and I'm going to take them to a couple of Celtics games this year. But in terms of it being conducive to me writing anything creative or useful for WEEI.com, not so much.
You know, it's funny. I think it's on the top of the list of things that Trags cannot stand. It's loud music, ruckus crowds, and, of course, loud hip-hop, annoying hip-hop music. So, I can see why you're so upset.
And crowds bumping into me.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've seen this up close and personal, right? I mean, this is not just some guy that I have on the phone saying, "Hey, Trags, great to be on with you, talking Celtics, blah, blah, blah." You work with me. You see me in these tight situations, either in the locker room or the media workroom, or we're trying to stand in line to get some food before a game or during a game, and you know how agitated I get, right?
Very, very agitated. That's why I started laughing the moment you mentioned Black Friday shopping. I was like, wow, you wouldn't find Trag there.
No
chance. Zero chance you would find him in that crowd.
Hey, Josue, this has been fun. We're gonna do it again, right?
We got to do this more often, Trag. This is always fun.
And I got to tell you, our videos after the game are fun for me to do. They're Facebook Live on WEEI, the WEEI page, I should say, on Facebook. Be sure to hit those up after every Celtics game, Celtics home game. And Josue and I bring you up to date on the latest news, break down every game. So be sure to hit up the WEEI page on Facebook for that. Josue, give everybody your Twitter handle.
You can find me at Joe Sway. That's Joe _SWAY10. So Joe _SWA10. Trags, I've been thinking about that handle recently. I don't know. You think I should change it?
NBA. How about NBA Joe Sway? That has a ring to it.
NBA Joe Sway. Why didn't I think of that? I should have mentioned this to you sooner.
That's why I'm here to help you, buddy. So maybe by the next time we have a Celtics podcast brought to you by JBL, or the next time we do a Facebook Live on the WEEI Facebook page, you will promote NBA Joe Sway as your new Twitter handle.
All right. Sounds good. I'll give it some thought. I'll get back to you on that. I'll let you know on Friday. I'll let you know by Friday.
And everybody can follow me at Trags, TRAGS on Twitter. Be sure to hit that up. Let me hear all comments, good, bad, and otherwise. Josue, it's been a pleasure. This has been a Celtics podcast brought to you by JBL on WEEI and WEEI.com. Until next time, for Josue, I'm Mike Petralia. So long, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.